Good evening. This is Pastor Edward Rice of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and I am doing our Sunday night, Sunday evening Bible study while overlooking Juanita Lake. So I appreciate again that you could be with us during these trying times of the coronavirus shutdown. And so I want to go ahead and use our Sunday evening Bible study times to go over some things in God's Word. We had started a college career teen class, and I had started this lesson series for that on the Revelation, our more adult Sunday school class. Let's call it our senior Sunday school class, is covering the book of Revelation now and the material that we have. And so I thought it'd be good to go ahead and to parallel that. And so we're going to be in the Revelation of Jesus Christ, given just a couple verses in the front. I do have worksheets that I have available. They're available online, and I mailed a copy to each of you. And so appreciate, again, if you still need that worksheet, I get you to cover the first couple weeks of our lessons, I think. So let's go ahead and take some time and look at the Revelation of Jesus Christ in our Bible study time. The Bible says here in this tremendous book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimonies of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things, or keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Father, I do praise you again and thank you. Thank you that you'd be with Good Samaritan Baptist Church in troublous times. And as we're scattered and not able to gather, I pray again, Father, that you'd gather us in spirit, gather us in zeal, gather us in effort to see your gospel preached throughout Yates County, throughout Schuyler, throughout Steuben, throughout upstate New York here. Father, I pray again that you'd just give us a renewed zeal as we're separated. Father, we can now see better, more clearly, the importance of gathering together. So I pray a special blessing on Good Samaritan Baptist Church during these days of separation. And Father, that you'd cause again, especially that your hand and your power would be upon your word as each of us has more time to study your word now in a quieted society. I pray again, Father, that you'd bless this study in the revelation of your precious Son, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this tremendous book, I must say a few things about it first. The revelation of Jesus Christ is considered by the apostate church to be a hard book. In fact, the early Protestants thought it should not be in the Bible. They thought it was just, and it said some impossible things. It said that witnesses in the street would lie dead, and the whole world would see them for 3 days. Well, they knew it was impossible for the whole world to see three dead people laying in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days before God resurrects them. So they put an allegorical message on all of these, and at first, and still had so much trouble with this book that they decided it should not be in the Bible. So Martin Luther and others did not consider this as a Bible, holy Bible, and they didn't want it canonized into the scriptures. But the Apostle John, praise the Lord, disagreed with them and put it right here in the Bible and put some tremendous promises with it. And so as we consider it, it is not a hard book. It is an easy book. Once you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you understand the bigger picture of what's going on, from Genesis to this book, Revelation, all the way to maps in your Bible, and when you understand those things, the bigger picture, then the revelation of Jesus Christ is very clear and in perfect harmony with all of the rest of the Bible. Let me say again that the reason that they consider this a hard book, and that is the, we're going to call them the church or Christendom maybe, but again, they consider it a hard book because they believe that the church replaces Israel in God's prophecy. And once they've made that error, they just go into a ton of other errors, and they cannot comprehend this message of the revelation of Jesus Christ because they consider that the Catholic Church, they used to consider the Holy Roman Catholic Church, was the entity in this world that God was going to use through eternity and has used from the beginning. And so they consider that the church begins there in Genesis, and the church continues on throughout the end of times. And those of us who know the Bible and understand the dispensations of God, we clearly understand that, no, the church age is coming to an end. And we'll see that in this revelation of Jesus Christ. The first three chapters, again, cover things about the church. But then, again, there's a voice that says to the Apostle John, come up hither. And we understand that, again, to be the voice of the trumpet that sounds and calls his church out of this world at what we call the rapture of the church, recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so as we consider these things, again, this is not a hard book. This is a exciting book. And so let's go ahead and look at some of the promises that are given. First off, let's do a correction. If you've got a Bible from Oxford Press or any of its derivatives, then your title of this book is The Revelation of St. John the Divine. I, on my Bible, have crossed St. John out and put Jesus Christ. Notice the first line of our text, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And so this is not a revelation of St. John the Divine. Now, the divine there doesn't mean they're trying to attribute deity to St. John. That's what they called in the Old English a student of the Bible. And so St. John was not a student of the Bible, he was an author of the Bible. And so as we consider these things, first make that correction in your Bible and make this understanding that this is the revelation, singular, of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says here in its opening verse. And then it says, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, unto whom? He gave it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it, the revelation was given to Jesus Christ, and he passed it on to us. There's a verse, I love it. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, that how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by our Lord? And so again, the things in this book are given to us, and especially here in the New Testament, are given to us by the manifestation of God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. That's a communication piece. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And so this is a revelation of that word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is a precious book. It is a culminating book. It closes out your Bible. And it does that with such elegance, with such a picturesque language, that it is, again, an epilogue of the whole Bible recorded here in our revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, again, a few things about that book. It is a book of sevens, because in seven is a number of completeness. Normally in your Bible, whenever you see sevens, God created the world in these 7 days, and 6 days He created. On the seventh day He rested. That's pretty clear, unless you're an ecumenical modernist accepting some form of evolution. And if you've made that error, then there's going to be a lot of other errors that follow along with it. And so as we take this number seven, it's amazing that I understood that communist Russia at one time tried to change a week into a 10-day period. They were unsuccessful. From the day that God created the earth, we have been having a 7-day week. Again, we have been having a calendar that may change, and we may get mixed up about the months or years, but understand that the 7 days have progressed since the creation of the world. And so seven is this number of completeness in God's Word and God's creation. And here in the book of Revelation, it is a number. It just goes on and on. There's seven seals, there's seven trumpets, there's seven books, there's seven vials of the wrath of God, there's seven no mores. It just goes on and on and on with as a book of seven. So watch for that in our study here. Let's go ahead and look again at this first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And so we're looking now off into the future. This is called by the apostate church apocalyptic literature. I'm not too sure that definition. I don't much like it. It is certainly prophetic literature. It tells us what is going to happen in the future, even as it says here in this introduction. And so I don't consider it so much as apocalyptic, meaning the end is here, as it is prophetic, to show us, to show his servants. I just preached a couple messages on the parable of stewardship. And in the first of those parables, in Matthew 25, his servants are all of mankind. In the second of those parables, under the unjust steward, in Luke 16, the servants, or the unjust steward, again, is a servant, but not representative of a Christian, certainly. But in the last of those stewardship parables, in Luke 19, the servant is a disciple, is a believer. And you notice in Matthew that when the servant wasted the master's goods, or buried them, as it were, that he was cast into outer darkness. However, in the last parable, when the servant just wrapped the master's pound in a napkin and kept it and didn't use the resources given to him, then he suffered loss, but he did not suffer destruction. So here again, you got to watch who the servants are. And here again, obviously, the servants are those that serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are the servants when we accept Christ, when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. We're not all born into this world as children of God. The children of God kingdom was overthrown by Satan. Again, When man sinned and fell into sin, they are no longer the children of God, the Bible says. Now they're the children of the devil. They belong in his kingdom. And the only way that we could again be switched back to being a child of God is if we accept his only begotten Son and we receive him as our Savior, and we then are adopted into the family of God. And so if that's not your status, I encourage you to first learn that principle from God's Word. And then you can come to the revelation of Jesus Christ and be the servants that he is showing the things which must shortly come to pass. Look at the last little phrase of this first verse. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And so here again is the introduction to the Apostle John. And notice what it goes on and says in verse 2. John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And so here's a testament of the Apostle John. And again, understand who that is. There was 12 disciples chosen and trained by God. One, again, was betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot. He was replaced by the disciples before the filling of the Holy Spirit of God came upon them with one Thaddeus. But here, as we look again at the 12 apostles, and the disciples were ordained to be apostles. Thaddeus is not named among them, but the Apostle Paul is. That's another issue. Let's look again at the fact that John was this disciple. There's three disciples that every time Jesus turned around, he bumped into Peter, James, and John. And so you find them as precious in the stories of the Lord Jesus Christ and the accounts of his miracles, that Peter, James, and John were witnesses. They saw him transfigured on the Mount. They saw, again, the messages that he preached firsthand were present in so many instances of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of those three, there was one that's become called the beloved disciple. Did Jesus have favorites? I don't know, but I do know that John had a favorite. And again, he was one who was always at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and called, therefore, the beloved disciple. And so we don't have time for a full introduction of the Apostle John, but again, understand that he was the beloved disciple, and he was revealed more. He was the last of the living apostles, and he wrote here, this book, wrote down this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 2, who bear record to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me just turn back a book or two and look at his tremendous introduction in the first epistle of John. Well, of course, I just cited his introduction, or actually it was a prologue to the Gospel of John, where he said, in the beginning was the Word. Here, notice what he says about him being an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the first epistle of John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our eyes, with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and this is a parenthesis, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Close parenthesis. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now there is an opening sentence. Notice again some things about Him being an eyewitness. He says very clearly, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the Word of life. Here we have this witness is now given testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ showed him here for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so again, as we look at the tremendous book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, I just want to emphasize again the importance of looking at every little detail, absorbing every word, and again, of being students of God's Word. This kind of an introduction Bible study, I suppose, there's worksheets I've given out that cover again the rest or some more of this chapter. I don't think I covered all of it in the first worksheet, but I encourage you to take those worksheets, work on them, fill them in as best you can. All you need to do them is a good old King James Bible, and those blanks will fill right in very nicely for you. And so I encourage you to get your Bible and use it to fill in those worksheets and prepare even for our Bible studies we'll be doing on these Sunday nights over this next month of challenging Sundays. And so look at the third verse that he gives here. He said, "Blessed is he that readeth." Oh, I like that. When someone sneezes, people all over the room will say, "Bless you." And it's good for me, again, to recognize what that means. When you are asking for God to bless somebody, you're asking God to do something for them that they could not do for themselves. And so, again, if you want to be a blessing to somebody, that's what you would do. You would do something for them that they cannot do for themselves. And so, again, notice that here it says there's a blessing for the ones that read this book. And so the story is about the sneeze there, that when one sneezes, their heart stops. And the only thing that makes that heart start again and take that next step is the fact that God controls every heartbeat that you have. And so in recognition of that, people often say "bless you" rather than "kazuntite." Kazuntite is probably the same thing, but I don't know where it comes from. So notice again that when God does something for us that we cannot do for ourselves, that's called a blessing, and God blesses us. It's curious with that definition that you are told to bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, all ye people. Bless His holy name. And listen, that's doing something for God that He cannot do for Himself. Well, that's a big word, cannot. And so doing something for God, that's what He created man for, was to bless His holy name. And that'd be an interesting sidebar to look at. Bless His name. Here, He's promised to bless us if we read this book. And then it goes on to say, if you can't read, if you won't read, blessed is he that heareth the words of this prophecy. And then it's got an "and." And so again, notice there's a blessing promised here. That means God can do something for you that you can't do for yourself. God will step in and do something in your life that would catch a little piece of God and install Him into your life. God will bless you if you read this book. And or those that hear the words of this prophecy. And then it says, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Boy, in this day and age, we believe more than ever that the time is at hand, that we are indeed in the last days, that the Lord Jesus Christ made a promise that he would return. He said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. And boy, we've got those days today. I heard a preacher this past Sunday say that, hey, we have not, we've heard a lot about people trying to find a cure of this virus. But we haven't heard anyone on the media call out for sackcloth and ashes, repentance and prayer about this Sabbath. And so keep some of those things in mind here as we enter this prophecy and understand that the time is at hand. We are in the last of the last days, and the Lord will soon return. And so as we again consider these words of wisdom, you'd come back next week and we'll go ahead and look at the introduction. Keep the words of this book and keep those things which are written therein. And so I'd encourage you to just to dwell on that. Think about this book and think about what we have here. And then we're going to start next week into the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's introduced. Again, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. We've read a little bit about the opening of the book. Next week, we'll look at the portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ in the opening verses of this precious old book. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we could be students of it. I pray your blessing on each one that would hear this broadcast, each one that would hear this message. Father, that you'd make us students. Cause again, Father, that we'd hunger and search after your word, hunger and thirst after the righteousness of this book. Help again, Father, that we'd study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we could be workmen and not be ashamed. And I pray again that even as we're separated by mandate due to this coronavirus, Father, that you'd again cause that we would again accomplish your purposes with our life, that you'd give us opportunity to be witnesses, that you'd again take our love for your Son, our Savior, and use it in ways in our lives that we could walk with you and talk with you in these days. We'll ask in the name of Christ. Amen.